Yes, sir, it's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. You heard?
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, on this Tuesday, January 4th, we will hear from Eileen Javier reviewing the years in social justice and immigration policies locally and nationally. Plus, we'll hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and plenty of new music, too, for you. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org. and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The COVID-19 news in the Hudson Valley continues to be bad January 3rd, as the fast-catching Omicron variant is certainly here. In Greene County, officials announced two more deaths in our community over the weekend and 263 new cases with 29 hospitalized. There were 126 new cases announced January 3rd in Columbia County, with 26 hospitalized and 3 in the intensive care unit. Ulster County on Monday reported 3,157 active cases of COVID-19, up from 3,021 it reported the previous day. Dutchess County announced on January 3rd that it had 5,491 active cases of COVID, up from 5,042 it reported the previous day, and more than double the county's early 2021 peak of 2,576. In Albany County, the number of new COVID-19 cases announced was still very large, but not as bad as recent days. There were 429 new positive cases reported there January 3rd, lower than the 558 new positive cases announced January 2nd, and much lower than the 1,003 new cases reported December 31st. Albany County is currently seeing 17.8% of its tests coming back positive on a 7-day average, while the Capital Region as a whole was slightly lower at 16.1%. Delaware County has 462 active cases, So a little over 1% of the county has officially had a positive PCR test recently and is considered an active case.
Kyra Scannell and Sonia Moog report for CNN that a court filing about a briefing schedule revealed January 3rd that New York Attorney General Letitia James has not just subpoenaed former President Donald Trump, but also his children, Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office and the Attorney General are investigating whether the Trump Organization manipulated the values of its properties, showing investors high values and tax collectors low values. Eric Trump, another child of the former president and an executive vice president at the company, was previously subpoenaed to testify in late 2020. A lawyer for Ivanka Trump and Trump Jr. and a representative for the Trump Organization did not respond to a request for comment. Read more about this story at CNN.
Brenda J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union that the university at Albany and nine other college campuses across New York will be transformed into coronavirus testing sites this week, Governor Kathy Hochul said. The reopening of the University of Albany's testing site comes as New York and other states face shortages of test kits and people were forced to wait over the holiday break to confirm whether they were positive for the virus. Hochul said the state has access to 37 million test kits, but that distributing those kits to school districts continues to be a priority. The other campuses where testing sites are scheduled to open this week are Syracuse University, Buffalo State College, SUNY Plattsburgh, SUNY Oswego, Purchase College, SUNY Cortland, Binghamton University, Stony Brook University, and the University at Buffalo. The mass testing site at Syracuse University will be the first to open on January 4th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Hochul's office said the other testing sites would open later in the week, but she did not offer details on what days they may begin testing or whether appointments are required. The number of positive confirmed cases dropped from roughly 90,000 to 51,000 on January 3rd, but the governor said that may have been the result of fewer individuals being tested over the holiday weekend. Across the state, 21 hospitals have suspended elective surgeries due to bed capacity shortages, down from 32 hospitals previously. Hochul last week said she was extending for 2 weeks a mandate that requires private businesses and venues to impose a mask requirement or require proof of vaccination until at least February 1st. When it will be reassessed. All SUNY and CUNY students eligible for booster shots must receive them by January 15th. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that the Greenville Central School District Board of Education is expected to appoint Michael Bennett as superintendent January 3rd, taking effect March 7th. That comes after current superintendent Tammy Sutherland announced her retirement in September after 36 years with the district. She first said she'd be leaving February 1st, but now will stay until Bennett takes over. Greenville Board President Tracy Young said, and I quote, "Mike Bennett possesses outstanding experience as a teacher and administrator, and we believe that he has all of the skills necessary to continue moving our school district forward," end quote. She said Bennett was picked over 25 candidates. Bennett has been the assistant superintendent in the Scodack Central School District for the past 8 years. Before that, he was the middle school principal in Scodack from 2008 to 2012, and was a special education teacher in East Greenbush from 1998 to 2006. Greenville Board Vice President Jay Goodman said, and I quote, "Mike impressed us as the type of individual who puts students first and has the ability to develop strong relationships with the students, school staff, and the community. We anticipate him becoming an active member of the Greenville community," end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that five Republican members on the state independent redistricting committee and their five Democratic colleagues could not come up to a consensus proposal to draw new district lines in the Assembly, Senate, and House of Representatives, so both of the plans were submitted to the state legislature for a review. Democrats said they submitted a plan, but that the Republican commission members refused to compromise. Republicans maintain the purpose of the commission was to develop a consensus plan. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, who is running for Congress, chastised state lawmakers for the deadlock, saying, quote, unsurprisingly, 2022 started off like every other year for the past decade in Albany, dysfunction and abject failure, unquote. The state legislature must now have the responsibility to work up a new map. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that Socrates Town Supervisor Fred Costello is excited about Empire State Development's $500,000 grant to Upriver Studios in his town. The film production company just moved to the former KTB Associates site on Thompson's Road recently, with plans to construct a 100,000-square-foot building there for film and television production. Costello said, and I quote, there's a real true job story that goes along with that. There's at least 200 employees here every day, and when they are doing certain filming, that payroll expands substantially to support that, end quote. Upriver Studios was founded by actor-director Mary Stuart Masterson, who has a home in Northern Dutchess, with film producer Beth Davenport and actress-producer Diane Wheeler-Nicholson as a, and I quote, climate-forward, women-owned facility, end quote. The town supervisor says that all that means spending in the town, not just jobs. He said, and I quote, the local vendors are doing well supplying their needs. That's from hardware supplies all the way through to food service, end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Coxsackie Athens School District is now able to offer a new and expanded pre-kindergarten program during the new year, in large part due to a $360,000 state grant received before the recent holiday break. A total of 31 school districts statewide will receive $13.4 million in funding as part of a New York State Education Department initiative, but Coxsackie Athens is the only district in Greene County to receive the pre-K grant during this round of state funding. The money will make it possible for the district to open two pre-K sections in 2022 to accommodate 36 students. Quote, we've never had pre-K in the district, and I think we're the only district in Greene County without it, unquote, Coxsackie Athens Superintendent Randall Squire said. Quote, they had never applied for pre-K previously to me, and this is my 11th year, so when we were eligible to apply this year, we received a base grant from the state in the current year's budget. Then the competitive grant opened up as well, which we applied for over the summer, and we officially received word right before the holidays that we were also given the competitive grant for $360,000. So combined, that will allow us to fund most of the pre-K program with the grants, unquote, he said. Squire said the funds are an annual grant, and the district will receive it as long as there is a need for it. The pre-K program will be housed in the Edward J. Arthur Elementary School in Athens. Superintendent noted that students from Coxsackie will be bused to the school for the full-day program. To be eligible for the program, children must live in the district and have turned four on or before December 1st, and there is still time to apply for the program before it begins. Quote, we're accepting applications currently, unquote, Squire said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, sunny with a high near 36 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 26 degrees. And on Wednesday, a slight chance of snow showers before 10 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow showers between 10 a.m. and noon. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 41 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 31 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM on Tuesday, January 4th. with all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7, including Justin Maiman from Caro is on at 10 a.m. live in Accra with the Ginger Radio Hour, and he's tuning in bird songs this hour today. At 11 a.m. it's time for the Early Electro Mix Show with tracks from Mazio Uno, Ralph Lundsten, Andrea Stordor, and others. At noon, we go live to Greene County with DJ Patty Boom and the Vinyl Freedom Show. He plays all sorts of different music, rock, funk, punk, reggae, and more until 2 p.m. when the Tongue in Cheek show takes over. At 3 p.m., the Radio Art Hour features Melissa Dubin and Aaron Davidson's Last Transmissions today at 3 p.m. At 6 p.m. on All Together Now, Mark Dunley recaps the most significant environmental issues of the year and talks about the climate crisis as we head into 2022. Then at 10 p.m., Dan Seward is live with the Battlefield Earth program from somewhere in Columbia County on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
This Thursday, January 6th, is the one-year anniversary of an attempted coup in this country where a group of people tried to overthrow the government, throw out the election of Joe Biden, even though there was no voter fraud and no court has found any voter fraud, and several policemen were killed, and few of the rioters have been held accountable so far. People across the country are rallying to observe this day across the country, including rallies in Albany and Williamstown, Massachusetts, locally. Go to January6UnityDay.org for more information about these efforts around the country on Thursday, January 6th.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org. Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, January 4th. Early on this morning, it's 11 degrees in East Chatham and 15 in Hallahan Hill. That is pipe freezing territory. Some of you may need to check those basements before heading off to work. A high of 32 is expected at 3 p.m. Conditions today are sub-freezing. If you go outside, layer up, then add a coat, hat, and gloves. Be sure to have a cold weather kit in those cars. Mylar blankets will save your life. Overnight temperatures fall a little bit to 27 degrees. Tomorrow morning, a little snow may fall, turning to rain with some low-level wind gusts. Watch for falling branches and maybe fill up that wiper tank today before you need it. Tomorrow's high of 42 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight, the wind gusts die down and temperatures fall to 30 degrees. Thursday will be dry with a high of 37. Friday, expect snow. How much? Well, so far it looks like an inch and a half for the low-lying areas, but that could revise a little bit upward or downward. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:48 a.m., low tide at 10:16 a.m., high tide again at 4:08 p.m., and low tide again at 11 o'clock p.m. Today's river temperature will be 36 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:22 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see solar flare chances have fallen significantly with the turning away of active sunspot AR2916. Solar winds are expected to pick up on Saturday. Solar wind speed is currently 444 kilometers per second at 4.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for daytime and fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 12. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Edward Ruschalski of Syracuse, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Sketch artist, sketch artist. No wind chimes strike, your dead stare strikes, and the wind chimes strikes, and your dead stare. Like an omen in the day, in the sunlight, dreaming in a day. Aliveness is objection. Wind chimes strike, your dead stare strikes, and the wind chimes strikes, and your dead stare strikes. Dead stare strikes, and the wind chimes strikes, and your dead stare strikes. You're a mystery, like a horse. You're a mystery, like a horse. You're so poor, you're so poor. Like an omen, production, myth. Sketch artist, sketch artist. No wind chimes strike, your dead stare strikes, and the wind chimes strikes. Your dead stare, your dead stare, is like no man in the sunlight with the wind chimes. The wind chimes.
That's Kim Gordon there from Sonic Youth with Sketch Artist from her solo album No Home Record from 2019.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Thank you. It's all under glass. The prison really sucks, but that's just our bad luck. When standing in one spot begins to hurt a lot, tomorrow's all we've got.
That was Catskills' Amy Rigby with Tomorrow's All We Got from a 2019 album called A One-Way Ticket to My Life.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
If there is no further business to come before the Senate, I ask that it stand adjourned under the previous order.
The Senate stands in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
The Senate held its first formal session of 2022 Monday, but a winter storm and resulting travel disruptions put the chamber's planned votes on hold. While lawmakers figure out their travel schedules, the first Senate votes of the year have been pushed to Tuesday. The snowy conditions didn't keep everyone away, as Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont rose to commend the Washington, D.C. cleanup crews for their work clearing and maintaining roads.
I applaud those who are doing that, because it is not an easy job.
Meanwhile, in Congress's other chamber, Representative Devin Nunes of California finalized his resignation. The Republican is leaving to become chief executive of former President Donald Trump's new media company. Nunes's exit had little fanfare as he submitted a brief letter tendering his resignation.
It has been the honor of my life to represent the people of California's San Joaquin Valley for the last 19 years. Please let me know how I can be of help during this transition. Signed sincerely, Devin Nunes, Member of Congress.
Democratic leaders say they haven't given up hope on passing voting rights legislation and President Joe Biden's Build Back Better framework. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told Republicans he'll put filibuster reform to a vote by January 17th unless GOP lawmakers endorse the voting rights bill. At the White House, President Joe Biden met with farmers and ranchers Monday to discuss issues facing the meat industry. President Biden says his administration is prioritizing increasing competition in the industry to keep prices competitive.
Four big corporations control more than half of the markets in beef, pork, and poultry.
The president's plan to increase competition in the sector would, among other things, set aside $1 billion to expand independent processing operations. The Food and Drug Administration has authorized Pfizer COVID-19 boosters for teens between the ages of 12 and 15. The move comes as Omicron continues to surge across the U.S., forcing many school districts to delay their return to in-person classes. Peter Marks with the FDA's Center for Biologics Research and Evaluation says the boosters will help prevent community spread among those students as they return to class.
In particular, we're most interested in making sure that we prevent serious outcomes such as hospitalization and deaths, which, granted, though uncommon in 12 to 15-year-olds, can occur.
Former Senator Harry Reid, who died last month, will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda next week. The Nevada Democrat served five terms in the Senate, including an eight-year stint as majority leader during most of the Obama administration. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eight trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You must understand the meaning of any facts you wish to remember.
Everything you were doing was gone.
This is normal.
Not normal.
This is not normal.
As if this is normal. This is not normal.
Dogs bark with the voices of children pretending to be dogs. And that's normal.
Your memory.
That was Negative Land with This Is Not Normal from their 2019 album True False.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
What would it be about?
But only dogs can hear.
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
I was
was born March 4, 1903, near Union City, Kentucky, in Madison County. My parents had 5 children in 9 years, 3 boys and 2 girls. In 1910, we moved from Union City to Brookstown, which is near Red House. I started in a one-room school that was heated by a large coal heater in the middle of the room, with double desks, 2 or 3 sitting together in the seat. It had a large recitation bench up in front where we sat when having class. All 8 grades were taught in this room with just 1 teacher. Most of the time, the teacher made the fires, swept the floors, and straightened up the room before any of the children arrived. Some of the girls and boys in the upper grades would help with the ones in the lower grades. After graduating in 1921, I taught a 3-month spring school at Brookstown. In a spring school, the parents paid the teacher $3 a month for each pupil. School in Richmond to get a life certificate. I taught the first 4 grades at Red House School for 2 years, then taught 1 year in high school. That year, my youngest brother and sister went to school with me, and they graduated that year. In the fall of 1927, I went to Benham in Harlan County. There were 130 children in the first grade, so the class was divided with 2 teachers. They were building a new school building, and as we didn't have enough room, one teacher taught half of them from 8 to 12, and I taught the other 65 from 12:30 to 4. In January 1928, I got married. Out that year, then quit teaching to raise our family. In 1933, we moved from Harlan County to Stanford in Lincoln County. We have 1 son and 4 daughters. In 1956, I returned to teaching as a substitute. Then in 58, I taught the first 4 grades in a 2-room school in Roland. In 1959, I came back to Union City to teach in the same building that my mother had begun her teaching career many years ago. And in the spring of 60, they gave me the principal's job. We moved to Union City, and in 1962 the school was consolidated with the Red House School to move to the new Daniel Boone School here in Madison County. I went to summer school, then started teaching the second grade. It was the first school that I had ever had just 1 grade, with new equipment and many conveniences. In 63, I taught 12 days and got sick. So I took a year's leave of absence. After resting and getting to feel better, I decided to come back to Eastern the second term and hope to get my degree in August. Deal in common, as you went to rural school and loved living on a farm in your childhood days. Also, I love boys and girls. If it wasn't for the love of being with boys and girls, trying to teach them to be good citizens, I wouldn't be going to school, for at my age, it is very hard to concentrate and learn with the younger generation being so alert.
That was Rachel Grimes with Red House School from the 2019 album The Way Forth.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
So much has been going on with the Hudson Mohawk magazine. We have some great producers who produce a lot of segments for us. Eileen Javier is a producer focusing a lot of her energy on immigration and the incarceration of immigrants in this country and in New York State. Nice to hear your voice again.
Hello. How are you? I feel strange being in the other seat. Huh?
You're a producer. What do you do for HMM?
I became interested in producing because how I get involved in the Sanctuary for Independent Media, it was because of a documentary that they show, and it gave power to a story of immigration. If anybody is interested, the story is called The Infiltrators, and it talks about this group of undocumented immigrant dreamers. They came here when they were very little, and they were brought up, but unfortunately they were still illegal. So they made this plan to get arrested, to be able to help people get assistance and be relieved from jail. So that's how I got involved with the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And I saw the power that social media has and the internet to bring a story and to help us create the change that we want to see. So I met Brenda Miller, Melissa Bromley, and Kathy High on the first day that I stepped in the Sanctuary, and I said that I would like to volunteer. So they said, oh, you can produce a segment to the social causes that you're interested in. And of course, I'm interested in immigration. I'm interested that people have access to health care, and I'm interested that people have a safe place to live. So I'm interested in a lot of causes, but this is why I became a producer, to basically be able to speak with different people in the capital region and then allow them to speak, to give them the power of the radio, the resources that we have to bring changes into this community.
What have you seen in 2021 that you think was good for us?
There was a lot of good things in 2021. I was very busy working in the Sanctuary. I am involved with the immigrant community in another grassroots organization that I am active, which is the Troy Sanctuary Campaign. I am involved with the Troy DSS, and they're focusing on housing, and I translate for the Spanish speakers in Troy. I also help other communities in different things. I mean, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I think the best that has happened in 2021 is that I see that the community comes together to push for the changes. And I know it is disheartening sometimes that we don't see results quickly, but I like that I am able to see that we all collectively do a phones up, that we write letters to legislators, to senators. So we pitch in to help people that, let's say, somebody is losing their housing. So even though it might not be something that everybody see, there has been so much good that has happened in our community. At least I can say the capital region. They come together, they help either with money, with resources, with a phone call, with an email. I mean, the environmental justice, we are making changes. If I have to pick one, because like I said, I can go on and on and on, there has Topic, Ms. Q, released from the Rensselaer County Jail has been the most amazing thing that has happened for me in 2021.
It was a spectacular event. She was incarcerated for how long now?
She was incarcerated for 3 years. She went to 5 different jails, and there was poor communication or none. So she will be transferred. I did an interview with Ms. Q, and what she said is that from the 5 different jails that she visited, was forced to stay, she said the last jail, which is Rensselaer County Jail, was the worst in terms of the lack of cleanliness and the treatment of the incarcerated individuals. She wished that that jail be closed because it's not only for the immigrants, but also for the people that are in the jail. They live in inhumane conditions.
What's happening with Ms. Q now? Is she going to be able to stay, or is she threatened to go back in jail?
We are in the process of writing letters to the governor to see if she could give her a pardon so ICE will not deport her, because it is not over. So we are sending letters. We have a petition for people to join in and sign in. So collectively, we put out the word and we request a pardon for her so she wouldn't be deported. This is a woman that was sexually assaulted as a kid. So if she gets back to her country, she will be back to the people that actually assaulted her. This is a very talented woman. She's trained in the graphic design. The only issue that she has is her status, but we are all immigrants in this country. Everybody came from somewhere else. So, no human is illegal.
That's a good, positive story that's ongoing, and it could very well make 2022 even happier for her, I hope. What do you think we can look forward to in 2022? What do you think about the progress through immigration, about the progress through the Dreamers? Do you think that there's some hope there?
Well, my hope for 2022 is that we apply the philosophy of Ubuntu. Ubuntu is an African word that I use a lot, which means I am because you are. And we need to realize that this is about us. If the immigrant community is good, we are all winning. If we take care of that person that is losing their house, now we have these people experiencing homelessness. So I understand that people sometimes tend to walk and think, well, it's not happening to me. But what I notice in my life is that it's not happening to you until it happens to you. And then you realize how important is the subject. So we should stop and think and listen and do something with the issues that we have. There has to be something that the listeners care about. Choose one thing. Make a phone call, send an email, sit down in community. Say hi to your neighbor. Know who is next to you and make a change. That's how I live my life, and I wish that we all live it. It's something very easy. Google it. Ubuntu. Nelson Mandela used it, and it's something that I wish for 2022 we all look forward to. Now, in terms of other things that we can make a change, there are some bills that I wish that they passed in 2022. Two of them have to do with immigration, which is the New York for All Act and the Dignity Not Detention Act. New York for All Act prohibits local officers from enforcing federal immigration laws. The New York Medical Aid in Dying Act, that will stop needless suffering by allowing terminally ill people who are within 6 months of death to ask their doctor for a prescription for medication that they can take to die peacefully on their own terms. The Universal Child Care Bill.
Yes.
That is relatively new, but it is something that New York needs to be able to address because of the child care crisis that we currently have in New York. And the last, and it's one of the most important, is the New York healthcare for all. Basically, if we pass this, every New Yorker will have guaranteed comprehensive health coverage for every resident.
Fantastic. Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The gun violence crisis in the U.S. has taken a toll on communities across the country. In New York, pending legislation would require licensed gun dealers to hold off on immediately delivering a firearm to a purchaser. The bill would require a mandatory 10-day waiting period after purchase before receiving the gun. Assemblymember Amy Pollan says Assembly Bill A449 provides a cooling-off period, which she believes could help save the lives of people experiencing mental health challenges who decide on impulse to buy a gun.
Most suicides are spur of the moment. They're rash decisions by someone who has mental health issues, and they decide they want to kill themselves. And then if they're able to get a gun instantaneously, it's a lethal combination.
Research shows states with waiting period laws had 51% fewer firearm suicides than states without them. The bill has been referred to the Assembly Codes Committee. Catherine Showalter of the group Moms Demand Action says those 10 days also could prompt anyone thinking about using physical violence to reconsider.
We're not against people having guns. It's just a matter of how do you make it safe for people, given the epidemic in this country. If you decided to get a gun, you know, to have the 10-day waiting period, it just helps people kind of take some time if they're thinking of something that would harm other individuals.
New York City recorded 485 homicides in 2021. That's the highest total since 2011, when 515 people were murdered, according to New York Police Department records. I'm Emily Scott with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You have tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM on Tuesday, January 4th, with all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7, including Justin Maiman from Caro is on at 10 a.m. live in Accra with the Ginger Radio Hour, and he's tuning in bird songs this hour today. 11 a.m. it's time for the early Electro Mix show with tracks from Mazio Uno, Ralph Lundsten, Andrea Stordor, and others. At noon, we go live to Greene County with DJ Patty Boom and the Vinyl Freedom show. He plays all sorts of different music, rock, funk, punk, reggae, and more until 2 p.m., when the Tongue in Cheek show takes over. At 3 p.m., the Radio Art Hour features Melissa Dubin and Aaron Davidson's Last Transmissions today at 3 p.m. At 6 p.m. on All Together Now, Mark Dunley recaps the most significant environmental issues of the year and talks about the climate crisis as we head into 2022. Then at 10 p.m., Dan Seward is live with the Battlefield Earth program from somewhere in Columbia County on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Ascara brushed across the plains. All of the phone calls he made, disconnected. And without the search, there would be no I. There is no I in the search. And why? Why are my eyes so bare to the light? To the light.
That was 2019 music from Kate LeBon and Bradford Cox. The song's called Secretary from the Myths 4 record from 2019.
And you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you.
Are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
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 listening.
You're listening to 90.7
Vin,
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 90.7 WGXC Acre, Catskills,
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 today.
East Durham,
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 Catskills,
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 Catskills.
Teen music here next from Hudson's Michelle Nadicello. This is called True Vine with Justin Hicks and Kenita Miller.
In my dreams, I can see where you want me. And I'll try. There is more to receive, and I'm trying to believe, waiting for the right time.
I turn the sky for you, I learn the tide for you.